I feel like I'm too tall. Hey guys, I'm Bryn.
I'm Heather.
Welcome to Pharmacist Out of the Box. It has been a long time.
We're back.
Yay. We don't know how often yet or what this will look like, but we just wanted to update you guys.
We missed you.
Yes. See how everyone's doing. There's been a lot of changes this year. So welcome. It's going to be random. We got kind of some talking stuff, but Heather has...
Yeah, before we begin, I just wanted to share with you guys, because you know we try to be educational. Like, yes. That's our hope, is to somehow share something that is helpful. So I thought, I had an experience this morning that I thought was perfect to share with you guys. And just to let you know, I'm older. And as you get older, things happen. So just to warn you, when you get to close to 40, your eyes go. I don't care how good your eyes are. Like, there's really a physiological thing. I talked to my eye doctor that happens like around 40, your lenses harden, things just naturally happen. It gets harder to read. I blame pharmacy school though, because, you know, for like, I don't know, 30 hours a day, we were like this, you know, studying, right? So I blame it on that. But supposedly it's something that happens to all of us. So be warned. But another thing that happens, maybe in tandem with that I wanted to make sure our audience is aware of so you can prepare, that, you know, I was putting on my makeup today, and my makeup is mascara.
Nice.
Well, yeah, thanks.
That's good.
Thanks. But just to warn you, ladies, mostly, maybe the men too, but the ladies, when you get older and you're putting on your makeup, if it happens to be mascara, there's something you should know. So you can't, I don't have them with me, but you can't wear, I have to wear glasses, right? To read or to see close up now.
Oh yeah.
Because of my eyes. But you can't wear glasses and put on eye makeup because your glasses are in the way, right? So you have to take your glasses off to put your eye makeup on. So you will end up purchasing, if you don't have one already, one of those lighted flipped mirrors that have
Grandma
like
always had those.
20 magnifying on the one side. And my daughter always flips it to the regular side, and I have to go, no, it goes back to the other side. So you have to have a magnifying mirror, so okay. Just save some money for that. And then you have to invest in some Q-tips, because you can only see like so well with the magnifying, but you do your best. But I realized today that I pretty much end up painting, you know, my whole eye area with the mascara.
Nice.
Just getting it on the eyelashes. And then you have to take a Q-tip and just wet the tip slightly. And then you have to become Picasso, because then you're like kind of unpainting kind of all of the mascara that's now on your eyelid. And so you have to make it right. And then you go Raggedy Ann into the world. Yes.
Wow.
So just something I thought I should share with our audience so that they can prepare for... I know you guys are all young, but for those of you who are, will be progressing.
Maybe they'll come up with like a cool solution. Like you have like your eye glass that like can pop out and still see and put it on. I don't know. That's maybe a little much. Someone come up with a solution.
Yeah. I just thought I would share with you guys my experience with putting on makeup at the age of 50 something.
Yes.
But anyway, just thought I would share.
You look beautiful.
Well, thank you. I got a lot of it cleaned up. It looks good.
So... possible reasons we've been missing. Obviously, COVID. That's been crazy. Just brought on a lot of changes for family and isolation and different workarounds. But I also found out I was pregnant.
Yay!
So,
yay! So that's having a baby.
That definitely changes things. So spent months with nausea. Got over that. So that's kind of where we've been. I mean, there's been a lot more in between that. For those of you who have children and are trying to, you know, work at home or have the kids, like, they're with you, I feel for you. It is very tough, very challenging. So I feel like we've had to give each other a lot more grace, a lot more understanding, and just figure out new timing of everything. So
how did it affect your job?
Like, so my job, I still stay going in because it's community pharmacy, and we actually finally got Medicaid approval, which was crazy. We had been trying for, I don't know, months and months. And then COVID hit and they're like, everybody gets approved. And I'm like, I've been beating down doors for like months now. Okay, thank you. I'll just say thank you and take my Medicaid approval. And then now with COVID, they're not doing, like, for durable medical equipment, they usually come on site and do an audit and a visit. Everything's like virtual visits. So like seeing all the different like companies navigate how we're going to do this virtually and where do you submit these documents. And so it's been a learning process. And then for the most part, it hasn't changed too much except when my son started kindergarten. And so trying to navigate his school schedule. Oh, I would say for my husband, though, it was really bad because I still worked, but he could work from home. Mm. So for a month, he had our, like, five-year-old with him. And it was a challenging time. Mm-hmm. Very, very difficult to, like, keep him entertained, make phone calls, mm. do the operation. So at a certain point when we realized kids weren't that affected, we sent him back to his home daycare.
Which is a tough decision. I mean, that's been a big decision for a lot of people.
Right.
What to do, send him back or don't send him back.
But it helped. It helped our family balance and have sanity. So it's been a been nuts. And then pretty much, I guess when that happened, I started getting sick. So he'd come home and we'd just lay there and watch movies because that's all I could do. But work's been good. I'm very grateful for it. We're able to help a lot of people in the community. And you just kind of work around everything.
Yeah,
I've been able to get students back. So the UF delayed students for a little while till they could figure out how they were going to do that. But have students in. We've got one here today. So...
So for me, I work from home anyway, so I have been quarantined for like the last 2 years.
Oh my goodness, yes.
So for me, it was very, very much the same. And actually, there was more of a call for that kind of work of working from home. So for me, it actually was kind of on the good side of things. I actually got a little more work. I got a new contract for working at home and doing what I do. So yeah, and I don't have young kids. I had to deal with my husband coming home, working from home. So having both of us, you know, work from home might be something you guys had to struggle with as well. Not struggle, but try to figure out, like, because we shared, at that time we had one office. So, and with me talking to patients and privacy, I had to, like, we had to coordinate who was going to be in the office space, and he has conference calls. So just organizing with him, like, who's going to go sit outside on the back porch and talk to whoever. That was a challenge. But now we've adjusted, I think, just like everybody has had to. And we now have a second office in our home. So we each have our own office. But, yeah. So I think it's just a crazy time. And I think I'm just pretty proud of, I think, how everybody's adjusting. I think we're all trying to do our best.
You even had puppies during?
So I had puppies. So some of the things that happened in our life is... even though we were at home with our dogs, we have a mom and a dad that have previously had a litter that we tried to keep apart and did a really poor job this heat to keep them apart. So we ended up with a second litter, which happened during COVID, which was fine because we were both home. It actually gave a good opportunity for us to both be there and manage the pups and take care of the pups. So that was fun. And they all have new homes and good new homes. We're really happy to be done and finished with that.
I bet. That was a lot of work.
That was something I did is have and raise a litter of puppies. But another thing too for me that happened that kind of fell into this COVID thing was I just had gotten my teacher training for yoga and was ready to teach, had done an audition and got approved. They wanted me to teach and then COVID hit. So I was real thrilled about being able to do that, but then that put a kink in things. But of course, we all are doing the best we can, and that's where Zoom came in, and we were able to do a lot of Zoom yoga classes. So that's been a lot of what I do, and we're slowly going back into the studio, so I've gotten to teach in the studio. But I think that's been a positive thing because sometimes I did some videos on my own for just my friends and stuff, so it was nice to have that skill to be able to kind of help people during this stressful time to just kind of de-stress a little.
And also how to connect because it's like our usual outlets, like going to the gym, going out to eat, all these things are difficult to create connection. And so that's awesome you're able to still connect and use your yoga skills and help your friends in a way that worked at the time.
Right, right.
We definitely miss it, though, so. Yes. Oh, goodness.
Yes, I don't. We looking for a new normal. Like, I don't know if we'll ever be normal, but I think we all are reaching for more normalcy.
Yes, for sure, for sure. So let's see. What else should we talk about?
Well, you did more. Did you do more?
I know.
Did more things happen?
They did, a lot of things. We were able to go down to the Keys, which was nice, so it was... I think August and do our normal lobstering with our family and just a few couple close friends. And that was a much needed getaway relaxation type of thing. It's been a nice tradition for our family. So definitely I encourage y'all to find ways to make traditions work with your situations. And that's one thing I feel like this whole year has like brought us back around to like more family time and focusing there. But it's also tough because sometimes family dynamics can be exhausting and you're looking for your outlets with your friends or your workout time. So after, what was it? After the nausea, the first couple months, I suddenly felt a lot better. It was still there, but I wasn't like seasick all day, every day. And I decided I'm going to walk. And so I set this goal. I'm going to walk 400 miles this pregnancy.
That's a lot.
It is. I kind of didn't realize like miles would take that long, you know, like 20 minutes, because it's like a half mile up to the gate. That's like 10 minutes. So by the time you go there twice. So I'm kind of sitting around 260-ish, somewhere around there. Mm-hmm. So I got about 10 weeks left. So hopefully we can get some more walking in now that the cooler weather's coming.
But I think that helps because with a lot of my patients that I've talked to in my practice, it's challenging. Like, I think a lot of them thought, oh, I'll be home more so that way I can ride my bike more or whatever. Mm-hmm. But also being at home more for my patients seemed like it opened them up to eating differently. And so they've gained a lot of weight being at home. So I love what you did, Bryn, to kind of say you set a goal. Because I think, you know, this COVID quarantine has just kind of knocked us all on our butts with, like, the gyms are closed, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of thrown a lot of people's routines. But having a goal, I think that's really clear. And even they talk about writing a goal down, like, write it down. I heard somebody, a podcast, talk about that today. Like, it's important to actually write it down. But just to kind of keep us on track, because this is kind of some crazy times.
Definitely.
I like that.
And then I've just been finding different resources. We're planning for a home birth, so I'm super excited to use my midwives again. They're amazing. So I've been listening to a ton of podcasts on Happy Home Birth. She's really inspiring. I haven't read any of Ina May's books, but I did throw in some books for y'all if you needed inspiration. So she has, like, Spiritual Midwifery. She has another book with childbirth that I read 5 years ago with my other son. So those are really inspiring. If y'all are into movement, Katie Bowman has her podcast, so it can inspire you to move more and move differently. She has a whole book on diastasis recti, if that's an issue for you, and gives you different exercises. So that's been really interesting learning from her. I guess, since I'm just throwing all my books out here anyways. The Secret Life of Babies, you guys can YouTube Mia, I think she pronounces it Kalef, K-A-L-E-F. She has a really interesting talk about how your experience in the womb shapes your future and the psychology of the unborn child. And so it is really an amazing book and concept. And so I've been discovering her work and some other similar to her. So if you wanted to hear the gist of the book, her YouTube talk's really good. And then this book's amazing. Your daughter still has to read this one, but Supernatural Childbirth. It just, if you're a Christian or God or have some sort of way you like to manifest, this just kind of teaches you ways you can use scripture to pray about your upcoming birth. And so that was really eye-opening for me. So I liked that one. And then the other resource I thought of that I didn't use with my son's birth was spinning babies. I always thought spinning babies was if your child is breech and you need to, like, flip them around. But my midwives had told me, oh no, you could be doing, they've got, like, daily movements. You could be, stretching different muscles, opening your pelvis. I was like, okay. So I looked them up and I think it's around 20 or 25 weeks to 30 weeks. They encourage you to do this, like, daily movement. It's almost like a flow yoga. So I've been it's kind of like 15, 20 minutes long. So I've been doing that for like a whole week each night. And I was really sore the first couple nights and it's been getting easier. They have you do this inversion to kind of release stuff in your back. Mm-hmm. And it's just amazing. I don't know if it's going to work yet, but it can't hurt. And it feels very relaxing. So spinning babies for any of you pregnant mamas or have friends with pregnant mamas or patients, that is definitely a really interesting resource. I can't think of the founder's name, but the lady goes into, she has like a little prenatal class and she pulls out the pelvis and like shows you different ways and angles the baby can fit through and why doing certain exercises makes a difference. So I'm like, okay, this is interesting.
You're such an inquisitive person. Instead of just like going through your pregnancy, like you're just so open-minded. I love it.
I'm trying.
So. Trying to be the best. Trying to do the best. No, that's awesome. And so I just want to share one of the experiences I had with my new job. So during COVID, I was blessed as people, felt down sometimes about it, but because some people were losing their jobs during COVID, and that was very scary. And I actually got a new contract during COVID. And one of the things I loved about working with these patients is they're very open-minded. That's what made me think of it. So I get to, my new contract, I get to actually work with patients who have a health coach. So these patients are actually on the mindset or have that motivation of like getting healthier in a nutritional way and in a fitness way and just in general getting healthier. And most of them, of course, like most patients, want to get off of their medications. So whenever they're working with a health coach, they're working with a dietitian, and it's just a great program. And I was just really blessed to get that job to be able to just be the pharmacist to step in when they need a pharmacist piece. So I love working with that kind of patient. So that was another blessing that happened to me.
Yeah, that's awesome that the patient actually wants to do the change. Right. And
they're
needs
very
the
motivated
steps.
And they're just hungry for knowledge, kind of like you're doing right now. Like they're just hungry. Instead of being like, just give me a pill for the next thing, you know, they're very like, okay, how can I do this better? Like teach me. So that's really been a blessing for me. And then I started my CBD business. That was another business
piece of mine.
That, so this COVID gave me time to really, you know, do as much research as I can. I'm still learning and growing in that space. But that's been a really interesting, like just filling my mind with new research and stuff on that, on the CBD side of things. So that was something else that happened for me.
Nice. There's so much to learn. So that's the thing. If you're curious or passionate or have a calling, like to be able to invest some time into it and look up different resources, I feel like we're gifted with so many avenues to learn. Mm-hmm. Online's definitely one of the ways, talking to others, reaching out. I mean, there's just a wealth of information.
Well, and I think too, a lot of these conferences and just things that maybe you would have had to spend a lot of money on or work out traveling to, like I think just having everything be more virtual now, I think has given us all like an opportunity as pharmacists to really, I know it has for me, to like maybe attend conferences or attend certain things that I might not have been able to because of travel or time or money or whatever. So
yeah.
I think that's another opportunity. Like if pharmacists want to take advantage of it, there's a lot more virtual stuff now that we can click
that's
into.
That's a good point. Mm-hmm. Yeah, for some reason I just got reminded of like health things. So this pregnancy, besides the nausea, has also had its scares along the ways, but one of them, I got a really bad Charlie horse in my left leg, and it was like 4 a.m. I've never had it this bad. Seriously, I'm like, honey, help me. And he's like, what? Like, I know you can't help anybody with a Charlie horse, but in my head, it seemed rational. And so he's rubbing, and he's like, there's nothing tight. And I was like, oh, that was awful. So it eventually was fine. I laid back down, and it happened to be the same day I had a massage schedule. I hadn't had one like all year, it felt like, you know, it's been like forever with COVID. And I was like, great. I was like, well, I'll just have her like work on the calf area. And so she felt like a tight muscle in there and was like working on it. And it was, I was like, okay, good. Thanks. You know, it was very relaxing. For 3 days, I had a sore like calf muscle. So then when I mentioned it to my midwives, they're like, that's not, you know, like, yeah, Charlie horses can be kind of extreme, but that's not normal. So maybe we should get an ultrasound. Mm. And so I started stressing about, oh my goodness, is it a clot? But I'm like, I don't have any of the symptoms. It's not red. I don't have that rope. Like, there's just things that didn't feel like it, but I didn't want to worry about it all weekend. So I just called up the insurance, found a place I could get the ultrasound done. Went in there, she searched all over, couldn't find it. So I was kind of feeling stupid because I'm like, oh, it felt better by Friday, but I already had this scheduled. I don't want to worry about it. Turns out, had a patient friend come by on Saturday, like, how's the baby? And I was like, oh, good. You wouldn't believe I had to do this ultrasound. I got this Charlie horse. She's like, oh, always get that looked into. She actually had a Charlie horse, and it led to a clot in her leg.
Oh my
and
God.
She... It was like 2 or 3 weeks that it was sore and they didn't see any visible sign, like the cord, like rope in the leg, any redness. So she's like, yeah, I almost died. So please check that out.
Oh my gosh, that's scary.
So
because you poo-poo things. You're like, oh, it can't be that.
Right.
Wow. Like,
so anyways, lesson learned, something you can share with your patients. It may not always look typical. Thankfully, I didn't have a clot, but
take it seriously.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely not normal to have soreness for days on end after those things.
But well, and that's another thing that happened over COVID, I think we can highlight too, is that I know my husband had a procedure scheduled And he still kind of put it off, and we're like, how many months into this thing now? I don't even know, like 8 months or so.
Like all year.
I think we're finally to the point of like, okay, maybe we need to look into getting that. So I know a lot of us have put off procedures, or and I finally have a bum knee. I have a torn meniscus that has been bugging me for the past 4 months, and didn't address it, and now I'm to the point where I feel like, okay, it's time to get that addressed. So I have a surgery coming up, but I'm really thankful for it. It's going to be quick and easy, and I'll be so much more active after that. I think that's another thing that happened is a lot of us, you know, you had something you had to like work with.
Right.
Pregnancy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You don't really have a choice like how it's going to go. I mean, yes, I, you know, worked with the diet, but you can only eat so many certain things, and you just got to listen to your body. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times it was laying down and using all my energy saved up for work. And so, yeah, it was challenging. Mm-hmm. But yeah. And then you got to do one trip, didn't you?
Oh, I did. I went to, so early on, I think we, another benefit of COVID is early on, one of the places we love to go to is Sedona, and one of the, Arizona, and there's a lot of good hiking and red rocks, just beautiful. If you've never been to Sedona out in Arizona, it is amazing, and you can hit Phoenix on the way, see all the cacti, and but it's one of our favorite trips. And we just happened, because of COVID, they had a great deal, the flights were cheap, and we did it early, scheduled it early, but, and just said it, you know, we're going to plan it for like 4 months from now, and if we're the only ones there because nobody else is flying, then we're going to go. So yeah, I got to go out to Sedona and just enjoy being outdoors and hiking. That is just where I'm the most happiest, so that was like an amazing trip. And very refreshing, to be honest, like after being cooped up, just being able to just have that normalcy, or like say, right, I'm going to get out and we're going to do something and celebrate. That was very, very nice to do. Yeah. And we're lucky we have family around. And I think you too.
Yes.
I think having family around is another comfort that has helped too, through, you know, just being able to, at least in our little circle, to get together and play cards,
right,
or have dinner or go to church or whatever.
Swim. Yeah. We've done some springs around here. Mm-hmm. That's been nice.
Mm-hmm. But it has been a challenging time. And was there more that you wanted to share?
I know, I was looking. I think those were the main things. Oh, that was one other thing I thought of. You know, like on the community front and with patients, you never know what they're going through. Who, you know, are they affected by COVID? Are they affected by a miscarriage? Are they affected by potential loss or death or not having their loved ones with them? So my papa, which is my son's great-grandfather, the only great-grandfather that was left alive, he has dementia pretty bad. So when we were done with the Keys, we made sure to swing by and see him. But, you know, we're worried because we're like, oh my goodness,
he's
just came from the Keys.
Yeah.
Like, we don't need to give him anything. So we kind of kept distance, but we were still glad to see them. They weren't concerned about it. They'd rather see the family and see everybody. Well, he forgot I was pregnant. And so when he heard about the baby, he was super excited again. And that was just like such a cool gift. Like, he's like, we got to go tell your grandma. This is awesome. And so, we had a great visit with them, and then later, so that was like, I think a Friday and Saturday, and then on a Tuesday, he ended up having like a stroke, another one. And so it was this few days where he's in the hospital. I'm like trying to get a hold of my mom and my grandma, like, what can I do? How can I help? And they're both telling me like, they're not letting barely anyone in the hospital. Like, there's nothing you can do here. We don't want you exposed. So they're able to transfer him, I think, to the hospice side of the hospital. And so it wasn't looking very good. And I just value like that memory with him and that time.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I'm just like, this is crazy. Like, I get it. Like, everybody's got to be safe. But you think of like, luckily my mom was there when he passed. But it's just like that limitation of like, who can be around you.
Right.
And even wanting to go to my mom's house and like help her clean or help her, you know, whatever way I could. She's like, no, because I've been in the hospital with a million people and you're pregnant. So you protect my grandchild and like stay home. And that was so like difficult for me.
Such a different world.
Yeah.
Such a different world.
But we're great.
But you had that time. That
yes.
was really nice.
Great
it was a blessing.
Time.
Definitely
yes.
a blessing.
And he was a great person, had a great life. But so just kind of being cognizant of there's so many different situations people are in that are affecting their health, their stress level, their needs. And so I think it helps to kind of be aware of that just so you can have more empathy for people and just try and help provide resources.
Or probably now more than ever, I always would tell myself that if someone comes in angry or frustrated already, like, you know, the same thing. Like, you don't know what they've gone through, so just be compassionate. And don't try not to take it personally. It's really hard. You know, we all know that's really hard to do. But people are going through some really tough times right now.
Yes. So it is.
Yeah. But thank you guys for letting us share. We are so thankful to be back with you guys. It feels so good. It feels so good to be together again. And who knows? We'll see, you know, where God leads us and, you know, how this is going to keep going. Because we do miss you guys. We love you.
Yes. Thank you so much for listening. Remember to think outside the box and keep living the best life you can with what you're given. All right. From outside the box. Bye.